Nayam tata padma palasha lochanat. Dukha chidam te mrigayami kanchana. Yo mrigyate hasta grihita padmaya. Shriyatara Andra Vimrig Vimrig Yamanaya Na Anyam. No others. Tata. Therefore. Padma Palasha Lochanat. From the lotus eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dukkha Chidam. One who can mitigate others' difficulties. Hey, your Migayami, I am searching after. Kanchana, anyone else? Ya, who? Mrigyate, searches. Hastagrahita Padmaya, taking a lotus flower in the hand. Shriya, the goddess of fortune. Itarai, by others. Anga, my dear boy. Vimrig Yamanaya, one who is worshipped. Translation. My dear Dhruva, as far as I am concerned, I do not find anyone who can mitigate your distress, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose eyes are like lotus petals. Many demigods, such as Lord Brahma, seek the pleasure of the goddess of fortune, but the goddess of fortune herself, with a lotus flower in her hand, is always ready to render service to the Supreme Lord. Purport. Suniti pointed out herewith that the benedictions received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that received from the demigods are not on an equal level. Foolish persons say that no matter whom one worships, one will get the same result. But actually, that is not a fact. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that benedictions received from the demigods are all temporary and are meant for the less intelligent. In other words, because the demigods are all materialistically conditioned souls, although they are situated in very exalted positions, their benedictions cannot be permanent. Permanent benediction is spiritual benediction, since the spirit soul is eternal. It is also said in Bhagavad Gita that only persons who have lost their intelligence go to worship the demigods. Therefore, Suniti told her son that he should not seek the mercy of the demigods, but should directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to mitigate his misery. Material offenses are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his different potencies, and specifically the Goddess of Fortune. Therefore, those who are after the material opulences seek the pleasure or mercy of the Goddess of Fortune. Even the highly placed demigods worship the Goddess of Fortune. But the Goddess of Fortune, Mahalakshmi herself, is always seeking the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. Anyone, therefore, who takes to the worship of the Supreme Lord automatically receives the blessings of the Goddess of Fortune. At this stage of his life, Dhruva Maharaj was seeking material opulences, and his mother advised rightly that even for material opulences, it is better to worship not the demigods, but the Supreme Lord. Although a pure devotee does not seek benedictions from the Supreme Lord for material advancement, it is stated in Bhagavad Gita that pious persons go to the Lord even for material benedictions. A person who goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for material gain is gradually purified in association with the Supreme Lord. Thus, he becomes free from all material desires and is elevated to the platform of spiritual life. Unless one is raised to the spiritual platform, It is not possible for him to completely transcend all material contamination. Suniti, the mother of Dhruva, was a far-seeing woman, and therefore she advised her son to worship the Supreme Lord and no one else. The Lord is described herein as lotus-eyed, Padma Palasha Lochanat. When a person is fatigued, if he sees a lotus flower, all his fatigue can be immediately reduced to nil. Similarly, when an aggrieved person sees the lotus face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately all his grief is reduced. A lotus flower is also an insignia in the hand of Lord Vishnu, as well as in the hand of the Goddess of Fortune. The worshippers of the Goddess of Fortune and Lord Vishnu together are certainly very opulent in all respects, even in material life. The Lord is sometimes described as Shiva Vrindachinutam, which means that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma also offer their respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana.
Om Agena Chimadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksha Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare.
Fortunately, Dhruva Maharaj, little five-year-old, has a mother who is indeed a Siksha Guru. She's able to give Dhruva essential instruction, even during such a severe moment in a child's life. Dhruva, of course, is no ordinary child, materially or spiritually. But presently, he is not aware of his spiritual glories in that he is focusing completely on his material name and fame. You know what happened. How he tried to climb on to his father's lap to take a position with his half-brother. His half-brother was born from the same father, but a different mother. As he was trying to do so, the father, Uttanapad, noticed his favorite wife, not the one who gave birth to Dhruva. His favorite wife was watching. So to please his favorite wife, his father, Dhruva's father, did not acknowledge his son trying to climb on his lap to accompany the other son born from the favorite wife. So the favorite wife was watching all this, noting, aha, just see how attached my husband is to me, and just see how much of an outcast is that other wife. Aha, this is the way it should be. She was very vicious. Dhruva Maharaj's mother, the outcast wife, was suffering already enough due to being neglected. And now the favorite wife wants to rub the salt in the wound even more. This is material existence. Lust, envy, greed, madness, illusion, dressed up in sometimes royal ways, well-mannered ways, political, economic ways. Regardless of all the dressing, regardless of all the complexity, still it's the same thing as described in the Shastra. The criminals that are plundering your life, lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, illusion. How it is that Saruchi, the favorite wife, will get pleasure by tormenting someone. How is it that she's going to enjoy by harassing the little boy Dhruva? And thereby harassing his mother also. This is the perverse, strange condition of material life. How we seek satisfaction in so many strange ways. So you might say, what's it to her that the little boy who's not born from her womb, but born from another wife, what's the big deal if he sits on his father's lap? But you see, material life is never simple. There's always some intricacy. There's always some commotion. So even in the innocent act of a little boy trying to sit on the lap of his father to accompany the half-brother, even in such an innocent, childish act, because it's the material world, that act is loaded with complexity and intricacy. And of course, in Kali Yuga, the intricacies that happen because of social interactions are even much worse. Dhruva Maharaj's, this history is not in Kali Yuga. Still, you can see what's happening. And in Kali Yuga, a prime characteristic of it is that all social dealings are characterized by disagreement, argument, discrepancies. So in Kali Yuga, it takes work to keep personal relationships free from quarrelsome tendencies. It takes work. You can tell that people are in anxiety today about relationships. They don't know how to have them anymore. Even material relationships, they don't know. Everyone feels something is missing, but no one knows what to do. So Suruchi, the favorite wife, was watching. Oh, just see how attached my husband is to me. And he's neglecting the other wife. He's even neglecting his son born from the other wife. Oh, this is glorious. The Acharyas explain this in their commentaries. This is how Suruchi's feeling. She wants to see the other wife cry. She's happy to see someone else's unhappiness. Now, some of you might say, well, it's all fair in love and war. Is that expression in English? In love and war, everything is fair. So, Suruchi, she was making her man focus on her more, so that he would forget the other wife completely, even to the point of neglecting the son born to the other wife. So you might try to justify it, but no, it is maliciousness. It's actually violence. Just to bolster, to inflate one's false ego. So she saw her husband show that she was the apple of his eye. Yes, yes, very good, very good. Your focus is approved by all the acharyas like me. Your meditation is certified. And then she didn't leave it at that. She began to talk to Dhruva, making the situation even worse for Dhruva. Don't you understand the reality, my little boy? Don't you understand the absolute truth? You can't sit on your father's lap and occupy a position on an equal level with your half-brother who was born from me. How dare you think that you have the same status? Let me explain to you the facts of life. You were born from another womb. Therefore, there can be no good fortune for you. This is how intense the bodily conception of life becomes. Based on this intense identification with the body as the self, you have all these family problems, national problems, ethnic problems, global problems. So in this history of Dhruva Maharaj, you see the root cause of suffering. Masquerading as enjoyment. So, maybe you would say, what's wrong with a woman who has co-wives? What's wrong with her trying to be in the spotlight? You might blame Uttanapad, the husband. What are you doing with so many wives? But he's a Kshatriya. He's a Vedic king, and they are allowed to marry as many wives as they can maintain. So you might say, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. You get a lot of money. If you're able to maintain more than one, you've got more than one. All glories to the Vedic age. But, as the ladies will tell you, maintenance is not just money. There's emotional maintenance. And so Uttanapad has learned. It's not just his wealth and military might that gives him the ability to maintain. He has to make deposits, daily deposits, in the emotional bank account. Otherwise, there's no peace at home. So therefore, when he saw his wife watching, when he saw his favorite wife watching, as the son tried to climb on his lap, he didn't allow Dhruva on his lap. And you can imagine how Dhruva was feeling, right? If you tried to climb on your father's lap, do you still do that? And your father pushes you away, you would feel very bad, yes? So, that is Dhruva's situation. But as I said, the wife, the favorite wife, made it even worse by lecturing him, explaining to him his misfortune. But even amidst her envious talk, envious because she wanted him to suffer, and by making him suffer, who else would suffer? His mother, yes. This is how you misuse your intelligence. So amidst all that horrible behavior, she spoke a grain of truth. As Chanaka Pandit says, you can take even gold from a filthy place. Or you can take gold even from a filthy place. She told him, Dhruva, you took birth from the wrong womb. There'll be no good fortune for you. Here is the only solution. You perform severe austerities in this life. Please the Supreme Personality Godhead. And then, in your next life, you might be able to take birth from my womb. So amidst that horrible talk, that slicing, cutting, pulverizing, crushing talk, there was truth. Worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What did Dhruva focus on at that moment? He wasn't thinking about worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was thinking about how he had been insulted. Yes, have you ever been insulted and you can't get it out of your mind? Why did that person say that? Why did that person do that? It can happen in your family life. It can happen amidst the association of devotees. It can happen at your workplace. It can happen anywhere, anytime. It's Kali Yuga. The age of rough treatment. Insensitivity. We're rough in our personal dealings. We have hot tempers. Arguments hit all of a sudden out of nowhere. This is Kali Yuga.
We don't know how to be soft and gentle.
So Dhruva reacted to the insult. The Bhagavatam says he felt like a snake that had been hit with a stick. And he ran to find his mother. He was so disturbed. And the whole palace was buzzing about it. They had already told his mother before Dhruva arrived in her presence. They had told her, oh, he's been horribly insulted. So Dhruva came to her, and she spoke words of wisdom. One of the first things she told him, which is very important for us, is whatever you do, don't wish ill upon Saruji. It's the natural material tendency that if someone offends you, you want them destroyed. When will a lightning bolt fall on you? Krishna knows I am right and you are wrong. Oh, Krishna, when will you destroy that person? Right? That's the natural tendency. You get so angry. Yes, even sometimes in home life, it's like that, right? How could you say such a thing? How could you spend money in that way? I was talking to my middle brother. He's a doctor, managing doctor, and his wife, she wanted to do her PhD. So she didn't tell her husband without discussing with him. She signed up for, she signed a dotted line for the PhD program, which actually would cost in total about $200,000. But she didn't discuss it with her husband. So I said to my brother, how did you handle that? Didn't you say something? Right? You, even the ladies would agree, $200,000 is a lot of money, right? U.S. dollars. So why didn't you discuss it with her and get on her case? I asked, did you say anything? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, because I still wanted to be married. He was trapped. So even in home life, you can be so angry. And then you have to debate with yourself. Should I say something? Should I not say something? The man's tendency is he immediately wants to launch a nuclear attack. Why did you do this? But he soon learns, right, that by doing that, you'll hear about it 30 years later. Right? The ladies never forget. Isn't it so? I have observed. It's just a different way of dealing with the world. We're not making value judgments here. We're not criticizing one and favoring the other. The husbands, they often tell me, whatever they do, some flash of anger is never forgotten. They hear about it 30 years later. But whatever the wife does, the ladies completely forget. And if you bring it up later, why are you remembering that? So, you take the basic disagreements because of duality. We're living in a world of duality. Dvandva Mohena Bharata. Krishna asks Arjuna, rise above the dualities of illusion. Duality means where there's happiness, there must be distress. Where there's pleasure, there must be pain. Where there's honor, there must be dishonor. In some way, shape, or form.
So it's very important that the first thing, Suniti, the out of favor wife, the discarded wife, the first thing she tells Dhruva, her son, is, don't wish ill upon this other woman. And then she explains that you're coming to me because you're thinking I'm your affectionate mother. I'll be able to help the situation. But I can't do anything. I'm out of favor. The Bhagavatam describes that Suniti felt demolished. She's like a leaf that's burning in a forest fire. Her boy is totally distressed and there's nothing she can do. She's trapped. She's got no political power, no family power, no gender power, nothing. So you can just understand how she's feeling. Yet she's still able to give good instruction to Dhruva amidst all that pain and agony, emotional pain and agony. And she tells him, you're coming to me because you want affection from me. But I know someone who's more affectionate than millions of mothers. You should go to that person. Dhruva asked, who is that? And she explained, the Supreme Personality of God. Oh, where do you find him? I've heard from great yogis and saints that he's found in the forest. Dhruva was gone. Especially he was gone because his mother told him, he can award you benedictions. So you have to give Dhruva credit. He followed his mother's instruction in that he did not wish ill upon Suruchi. Still, he wanted something material, though, but at least he didn't wish ill or violence on anyone. What he wanted was a kingdom greater than anyone had ever seen, so he could put his father and his brother in their place. He could show them up. So that was his ambition. How do I get the greatest kingdom? So his mother told him. So in today's verse, she's saying, my dear Dhruva, as far as I'm concerned, I do not find anyone who can mitigate your distress but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is honesty. She's not putting herself forward as the big problem solver. She's saying you have to increase your bhakti. We had a very nice retreat weekend at the Nandagram farm, and our theme was adding more Krishna to your life as the personal and global solution. We were discussing the whole weekend how adding Krishna doesn't mean you're not able to solve your daily problems. In fact, by adding more Krishna, that's the way to actually deal permanently with all problems. But we're so attracted to temporary solutions. That is our problem. Have you got a temporary solution for me? I'll jump on it. Thank you. What? You say adding more Krishna is the permanent solution? I don't know about that. That's too hard. Temporary solutions are very easy. They're very appealing. We are the body. Make a bodily solution. We are the mind. Make a mental solution. Financial solution. Political solution. Environmental solution. But Krishna solution? Krishna, you just believe in Krishna, that's all. But his mother is acting as a brilliant Shiksha Guru. I do not find anyone who can mitigate your distress but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the demigods who seek the pleasure of the Goddess of Fortune should know that the Goddess of Fortune herself is always ready to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let's go right to the root of the tree. This weekend, we discussed how if there's a branch of a tree that's disconnected from the tree, it's just lying on the ground, just like when I was doing my walk in the neighborhood yesterday, there was a tree crew from the city, and they were sawing off branches of trees that were hanging over the houses on the street, you know? And so you could see on the street, there were many cut-off branches, many leaves, before the city people cleaned them up. Now, would you come along and pour water on those cut-off branches? I want to save these branches. I want to help these branches. I want to love these branches. No, you understand, the branches are cut off. They only benefit when they are attached to the tree. But now that they're cut off, no matter how much water you pour on the branches, you're not going to solve their problem. So then you say, why does it look like material solutions work? It looks that way because of Maya. We're seeing in a distorted, perverted way. So therefore, when you read Bhagavatam, especially in the first canto, you hear Srila Prabhupada pointing out again and again, you can have peace conference after peace conference, this welfare conference after that welfare conference, on and on you go. And still the problems of Kali Yuga will march on. So Dhruva's mother is very honest. She's brilliant. Nothing can fix your situation except the Supreme Personality of God. Now, Dhruva is not showing pure bhakti. He is going to approach his spiritual life to get material benefit. It's not the best. Still, it's a sign of good fortune and piety. But as he follows the instructions of Narada Muni, and then eventually gets the darshan, the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he'll become purified. So in bhakti, we do not expect that everyone comes with pure motivations. Persons come, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, to relieve their distress, to get wealth and money. They're curious about spiritual things, and some are seeking knowledge. But it's not that everyone is coming with a pure motive to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. Still, Krishna says, Sukriti, they have auspicious merit because they're coming to me. And gradually, they'll become purified. So here you see Dhruva caught up in his material desires, but by the good instruction of his mother, he's going to get the even better instruction of Narada Muni. And through the instruction of Narada Muni, he will gain the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any questions? Yes.
You said that you didn't wish anything bad to his mother, stepmother.
But he didn't wish that. Dhruva didn't wish that. They insulted such a great devotee. So there was some reaction. But Dhruva never wished that. Yes.
When Dhruva went back to the spiritual planet Dhruva Loka, he saw the Suniti going ahead of him. Mm-hmm. But actually the Suruchi is the one who pointed in the right direction. So Suruchi should have been ahead of Suniti as well.
No, Saruchi was not really thinking about giving him spiritual instruction. She was thinking about speaking as harsh words as possible. In other words, she wanted to show Dhruva how supreme she was. If you want to fix your life, perform austerities, get the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then you might be able to take birth in my room. She's just adding emphasis, you know. She's not really thinking about giving spiritual instruction. She just wants to make Dhruva feel bad, and in that way, get back at Dhruva's mother. So you're thinking, why can't everyone live in peace? But you can't live in peace in material life. There has to be envy, anger, lust. This is why, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, we give no credit to material solutions. Material solutions only give an appearance that they're going to solve the situation. Just like now, everyone can see the world's becoming crazier and crazier. So many leaders of countries are bragging about their nuclear arsenal, their nuclear weapons. Like gang leaders. Our gang has got this, we'll destroy the other gang. And people are taking it as normal. India is bragging about its nuclear arsenal. It can reach so many cities in China, what to speak of Pakistan. USA is bragging about how big its nuclear button is. The leader of Russia is saying, we've got new missiles that no one can stop. This is normal life. But we're so conditioned, we take it as, oh, that's the way the world is. Somehow there'll be world peace. So we have become conditioned to all that demonstration of lust, anger, and greed. So you see all that lust, anger, and greed in a nutshell in this palace scene with Dhruva, Saruchi, Uttanapad. Yet amidst this disaster, for Dhruva, 5-year-old Dhruva, it was a disaster. Amidst that, the greatest benefit comes about. That is the triumph of bhakti, independent of any material circumstances. Your bhakti triumph can happen. Yes?
How Sunidhi is explaining to Dhruva how no one else can really mitigate your problem, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we have problems in our life, it's almost a natural response to look for material solutions. How do you prevent
it? Well, you twisted your ankle. We didn't stop you from going to a doctor. No material solutions. Right? You went to a doctor, right? But you didn't think that the doctor had solved your main problems in life. Your main problems in life are about remembering Krishna, serving Krishna. So you went to the doctor to patch up your machine, but you didn't think, oh, you have given me the ultimate solution. So yes, devotees go to doctors, devotees go to psychologists, they have things haunting them from their previous days. But we don't invest our core hopes in material solutions. We do the necessary and depend on Krishna. Yes?
Yeah, when we as devotees read Bhagavatam or all Prabhupada's books and hear the things that this world is full of envy and lust and anger and greed, and we can easily understand it. But like I notice other people who read the books, they don't see it like that. And even if they read so many times that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still they think like Krishna is the universe and like that, they can't enter into it. Like, what can
it takes time. Therefore, nityam bhagavata sevaya. You know that verse? Every day, hear Bhagavatam, not just one time. We're so happy that they're reading Bhagavatam, so encourage them. Go on reading. It's the literary presence of Krishna to protect Dharma now that Krishna is no longer present before the ordinary vision of the world. You could have started off like that in your last life. Just reading a few pages here and there of Bhagavatam. Oh, this is all about the cosmic oneness. Oh, it's talking about lust. Well, we all know God gave us these bodies to enjoy. You could have been like that in your previous life. But somehow or other you accumulated enough devotional service to start again in this life at a young age. What age you started?
At 19.
19. Mm. Just see, I didn't start till I was 22, so I'm envious. What age did you start?
When
you were born. And you? Why? Why you and not me? Alright. Mataji's, any questions? You're all full of wisdom and knowledge. Yes, another one?
It looks like adding more Krishna solves the individual problems, but does not really solve the problems of the entire material world. The material world remains the same for duality, fight, envy.
Even if that's so, that, as you say, bhakti doesn't solve the world's problems, you're part of the world. If it solves your problems, that's great, isn't it? As for its effect on the world, you need more mature vision to see that. But you're a part of the world, so even if one person is helped, that's made a lasting effect. And of course, more than one person is being helped. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.